Going to just be preaching, obviously, on the resurrection of Jesus and really what happened there. Last Sunday, we started a series about being led by the Holy Spirit, and just going to take several weeks on really what does that look like in the Bible, what does the Bible teach us, and so it really fits right into what we're going to talk about this morning. Amen. So all week long, I just had this very simple phrase in my heart, and it's just this, the same Spirit. Everybody say with me, the same Spirit. The same Spirit. And so if you remember last week, just to lay just a little bit of review, what we're talking about last week and what we'll be talking about as kind of a theme for the next several weeks is that the Lord spoke to me the previous week and said, son, you need the same power of my Spirit to lay hands on sick folks and they get well as you do to be the husband I've called you to be the father I've called you to be. It's not a different spirit. It's not a different power. You need the same power to do the stuff you don't think you need my power to do as the stuff you do think you need my power to do. Right? Like, if somebody comes in and they're like, hey, I've got whatever their ailment, their physical ailment might be, we realize that I can't heal them, right? I don't have the power to do that. Only God does, right? So we know, man, I need the power of God to do that. But some reason, like, it clicks in us when we're all at home dealing with kids that are just being kids. We're just like, oh, no, I got to try to grind this one out. And God says, no, man, the same power that you called on to deal with that physical ailment, you can call on the same power to deal with the issues going on with your kids, right? Issues with husbands and wives. I've never had one of those, but, you know, I hear that that happens occasionally, right? That any of that stuff, and some reason we've kind of fallen back into this trap that it's like the personal stuff, we just kind of work it out, and we're like, okay, God, I'll do my best, and but he says, no, man, you need supernatural power in your home, right? Same power. So as I said, we were taking communion. We observed Good Friday a couple of days ago as the day that we remember Jesus' death on the cross and the payment he made for our sins, past, present, and future. But it's not only about him paying for our sins and then we just keep living the life the way we always have, right? Anybody been there? Come on, man. I've been there. I know folks. You watch them. It's just the craziest thing, Christians getting saved and then living the way that they always lived. And you're like, man, you're missing something, bro, right? I want to, just so I don't forget it, I want to talk about a little bit difference between, I want to make a distinction between getting saved and being born again. Amen? Because being born again, which if we get there today, being born again means being born of the Spirit. Right? We're born once of water from our mother's womb, and then when we get born again, it's not just Jesus dying doesn't make me born again. It's what brings him back that makes me born again. And can I get amen? I've got to go through the cross to get born again. At the cross, I'm just dying, and we need to do that. Amen. We need to die to stuff. We need to die to sin, die to old ways of thinking, but I got to come through that death and get resurrected and come forth with new life. Amen. We love kids here. Don't be, if your kids are little, if your kids are being kids, we love it. Don't worry about it. Amen. So one thing I also want to share with you, it's not in my notes, but I love this one scripture in 1 Peter. It's like towards the end of chapter 2. We always talk about by his stripes we're healed, right? We love it. I believe it. Amen. But Peter actually quotes that at the end of, I think it's, I can't remember first or second, but he quotes it. But you know, if you read his letters, he doesn't talk about a physical ailment at all, neither one of his letters. What he says is he's talking about, like sheep, we all go astray. And right there he says, but by his wounds we're healed. Right? So Jesus, when he's, if you watch that movie, they've tied him to the post and they're whipping him, right, with the cat of nine tails and ripping chunks of flesh off his body. Church, it's not just for what I physically do wrong, my sin, right? It's for the iniquity that's hidden in my heart, right? Sin is what I do wrong. Iniquity is why I do it, right? See, if all we focus on is what I'm doing wrong, iniquity is still going to be alive and well in my heart, and I'll be good for a little while, and then I'll fall off the wagon again. Anybody been there? Come on, man. God says, look, Jesus, it says he was whipped for our transgressions, but he was bruised for our iniquities, right? Bruising, church, if you ever think about it, it's real simple. Bruising means you're bleeding on the inside, right? If somebody whips me, I'm going to bleed on the outside. That's for what I've done wrong. But when you bruise, you're bleeding inside your body. Jesus bled not just outside his body, but inside his body to fix not just what I do outside, what I do against my brother, but he bled to fix why I do this. Right? It's not just about behaving properly. It's about getting my heart fixed. Amen? Churches across America, maybe around the world, typically have record attendance this week. But my Bible tells me, as our brother was praying before service, that I'm supposed to take my cross daily and follow Jesus. Right? If you want to follow me, Jesus says, you must take up your cross daily and deny yourself. I'm glad folks come to church on Easter, but we got to start working on, you know, like at least once a week, let's start there, you know what I mean? And we all need it, man. There's times I get up, I just want to do me. Can I get amen? Anybody just wake up one day and you're just like, I'm gonna just do me today, right? I don't care, you know, right? And then you get to the end of the day and you're like, wow, that was a waste. Amen. See, I'm supposed to be putting aside my desires, my wants, my thoughts. I'm supposed to be laying aside all those things. Can I get amen? What the Lord is really on me, church, about, and I've been here before, and he's bringing me back into it, is that what Jesus did, dying, goes to hell for 3 days, beats the devil on his own turf, takes the keys of hell, right? Bust the gates open, then comes back again victorious by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because of that, right? As Christians, we should be radically changing. Come on, man. We should, and not weird stuff, okay? I said it last week, man. We got lots of churches, we do weird stuff, man. I'm not into weird stuff. I'm saying there should be something radically different about how I view life, how when stuff comes at me, because just because you get saved and you're walking with Jesus doesn't mean stuff's not going to come at you. You might have more stuff coming at you. Anybody give me an amen on that one? Come on. Look at one preacher says if you weren't a threat, the devil leaves you alone because you're not a threat. If you're a threat to the kingdom, he's going to come at you. But I say, come on, if we're really right with God, we say, bring it on. That's all you got. Amen. See, as I remember the cross every day, which was the Father's ultimate display of love for us, we should then also remember that the cross isn't the end of the story. When Jesus says it is finished, think about this, church. He was literally talking about his specific mission of reconciliation. You ever think about that? See, Jesus' mission, when Jesus Christ was on earth, his job was to reconcile humanity to God. When he's hanging on the cross, he takes a sip of the sour wine. He says, it's finished, breathes his last. That moment, right, the second that he breathes his last breath, the Bible says that the veil in the temple was torn in two from not bottom to top like a man would do it, but from top to bottom like an angel did it. Got in there, ripped the veil open. The veil is what said to normal folks, right, you can't come in here because you're not worthy. When Jesus breathed his last on the cross, the veil that said to humans, you're not allowed into the holy places of God, that veil was ripped in two, and God says, you're all welcome, every single one of you, man. If you accept Jesus Christ, if you accept the blood of the Lamb, you can come into the presence of God. Right? But church, that's not the whole story. When Jesus says it is finished, that's what he finished. Can I get amen? Then the power of the Holy Spirit invaded that tomb and rose him from the grave, right? He rose victorious. The Bible says in Philippians 2 that because Jesus was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, for this reason also God gave him a name which is above every name. And the Holy Spirit said to me years ago, I was reading that for Bible school, the Holy Spirit said to me, son, if that's what Jesus did, it says he did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped onto, but took on the form of a bondservant, right? He let go of his former identity, took on the identity that God had for him, and then gained back his real identity, right? The Lord said to me, son, your journey is the same way. We got to let go of who we were, take on the identity that Jesus purchased for us, and be obedient to that identity, even to a death on a cross. And as we're obedient, as we become more and more obedient to the will of God, he says, I'll bestow on you the same glory I bestowed on him. What? That sounds crazy, doesn't it? Isn't that funny? But you know, in that whole section of Philippians 2, you know how he starts the whole section? He says, have the same mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So if he's saying, man, I want you to think like Jesus thought, and here's the reward Jesus got, then why wouldn't God give us the same reward? Is some of the reason that we don't see radical change in the church is because we're too busy hanging on to who we were. Come on, church. We're too busy hanging on to our bank accounts. We're too busy hanging on to our 401ks. We're too busy hanging on to, you know, our vacation homes. I'm glad we live in America. I got toys, but come on, man. If God says let go of that right now, are we willing to let go? Are we willing to really say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it? See, it's easy to say that when we're worshiping on Sunday and we're crying, we feel the prayer, oh, Lord, send me to Antarctica. And he's up there going, you better watch it, bro. Slow your roll, son. Amen, church. The story of God and mankind wasn't finished at the cross. It began there. Think about this, man, right? The story of what God can do with redeemed humanity was just beginning, and that story is written through the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. Another thought here for you guys. Think about this. You know, what's one of the last things that Jesus says before he goes ascends to heaven? You guys know what it is? What's he say to his disciples? There's many things I want to say to you, but you're not ready for them. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, the Helper comes, he'll remind you of what I said, and he'll reveal to you all these things I want to tell you, but you can't handle it right now, right? So I was thinking about that recently, and the Lord said to me, he says, son, do you want to know what all that stuff is that Jesus couldn't tell them? I was like, man, this might be a long conversation right now. I don't know. And I said, well, yes, I do. And this is literally, think about how simple this is. The Lord said to me, turn to Romans chapter 1 and start reading. Think about that. Think about it, church. Because the stuff that Jesus wanted to tell the disciples that they could not understand because the Holy Spirit wasn't in them, right? He says the Holy Spirit's with you right now because he's in me. I'm with you. He's in me and the Holy Spirit's with you. There's a day coming he's going to be in you. That day, then you're going to start understanding. If I could tell you all this stuff now, it's going to go whoop right over your head. You're not going to catch any of it because you got to catch it by the Holy Spirit, right? He says, but the stuff that I want to tell you, it's the rest of the Bible. Can I get amen? Romans, Corinthians 1 and 2, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, all these books that are written in there. He says, that's the stuff I want to tell you. Gospels and Acts doesn't tell us how to do church. Gospels and Acts doesn't teach us how to have a good marriage. Gospels and Acts doesn't teach us how to deal with kids. Gospels and Acts doesn't teach us how to forgive people. Gospels and Acts doesn't give us any standards of government. It's none of that stuff is there. That stuff starts in Romans 1, teaching us how to live as Christians. right? And we need the Holy Spirit to do it. Amen. Romans chapter 8, let's turn there. This is our text for this morning. And we're going to read just a few verses here. I had more and I cut it back. That means absolutely nothing if you're visiting with us. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Say amen when you're there. I love Romans 6, 7, and 8, church, are like such a great doctrine section right there, man. If you honestly, if you could hammer out Romans 6, 7, and 8, you're going to be real good. Romans 6 is all about getting baptized. If you're buried in the likeness of his death, right, you'll also be raised again in the likeness of his resurrection. So good. But we're in Romans 8, verse 9. However, you are not in the flesh. Everybody say that with me. I am not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. All right, how many people, raise your hand, does the Spirit of God dwell in you? Amen. So that means that Paul's talking to you right now, right? If the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him, right? So this means that if you are saved, it doesn't say that the Holy Spirit's going to come in, you're going to feel something. Some folks do. So I didn't feel anything. When the Holy Spirit, I got baptized, the Holy Spirit didn't feel a thing, right? But you know what I started noticing is I'd go to do something and I'd hear this voice in my head that I'd never heard before. And the voice would say, you can't do that anymore. Say what? What? That's not Christianity. Christianity is I can do whatever I want and Jesus died on the cross for me. That's wrong. Do you understand, church? You can't be saved and not have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. That's what Paul's saying right there. Can I get amen? Right? Let's keep reading. Verse 10. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit, notice it's a lowercase s right there. He's talking about your spirit, not the Holy Spirit, right? Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Is this a righteousness that we work on our own or is it a gift? Everybody say it's a gift. Thank you. Praise God, right? It's the gift of Christ's righteousness given to us in the Holy Spirit. Amen, right? But if the Spirit, capital S, of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now, verse 11, church, this is such a powerful verse, man. Anybody that says the whole Trinity thing is not biblically accurate, anybody ever hear that? Like Father, Son, Holy Spirit? Verse 11 gives you all three in one verse. Let's read it again. If the Spirit of him, who's him right there? The Father, right? Who raised Jesus, the Son, from the dead, dwells in you, he, the Father, who raised Christ Jesus from the dead, so Jesus was dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit, right? The Father's Spirit. Do you see it? You see Father, Son, Holy Spirit in one verse right there, right? And so isn't this interesting? If the Father is almighty, which we know that if he's all-powerful, he's totally sovereign, he can do whatever he wants, but he uses his Spirit to raise Jesus out of the grave, do you think that the Spirit of God is literally the power of God in action? In creation, the Bible says that the earth was dark and without void, and what was hovering over the earth? The Spirit of God was brooding over the earth. He was hovering, and then the Father spoke, let there be light, boom! And the Holy Spirit is who activated that word from the Father over the earth. Church, I'm telling you what, have you ever been reading your Bible and you're just enjoying it, you're having some nice personal quiet time, you're just grinding it out, right? And all of a sudden you read something and it just, boom, it just hits you, right? There's a word from the Father that the Holy Spirit is enlightening to your heart, right? It's impossible to understand the Bible without the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. So then, brethren, verse 12, we are under obligation. Everybody say that with me. We are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must. Oh, isn't that such? Doesn't that feel good? Praise the Lord. But, everybody say, but, if by trying super duper hard and hitting prayer meetings 9 days a week and fasting until you are like a toothpick, nah, the Bible says that if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Church, you know what? I love it. I'm right with you guys. So I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching with you this morning. Amen. Look, I've spent years trying to figure stuff out in my life because you know what? I was grinding it out on my own. I looked, I'd read something in the Bible. I knew it was right. Okay, God, I'm going to get that one. But you know what? Honestly, it was something that I just saw and the Holy Spirit hadn't really quickened it to me. I knew it was right. Can I get amen? Anybody ever read something in the Bible, tried to work it out on your own? Man, is that frustrating. Because it's like, that's where Paul says in Romans 7, you back up a chapter, he says, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Oh, what a wretched man I am. Look how Paul describes himself. I am such a piece of blankety blank. Right? And he says, who will deliver me from this life of sin? Who will deliver me? But thanks be to God that in Christ Jesus I am free, right? That's why in chapter 8, verse 1, it says, now there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because if you back up just four verses, Paul's showing us what it looks like to grind it out. Right? Being in Christ doesn't mean I'd never sin. It means I'm grinding it out. When I do sin, I know it. Oh, man, I shouldn't have done that. And I do whatever I got to do to get it right, right? It doesn't say there's no conviction in Christ. It says there's no condemnation. Condemnation is eternal damnation. That's the word in Greek, right? Conviction, the Holy Spirit comes and says, you need to clean that up, right? That's what Paul's saying here in Romans 8. If by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the flesh, Holy Spirit is going to whisper in your heart, that's enough of that. Anybody ever been there? Right? And you know what the battle is? We say, yeah, but I like this. I heard one preacher say it this way. He said, you know, every time you repent, anybody ever repented of something more than once? Don't lie, you're in church. How about today? But you know, this preacher says, anybody ever done that and been discouraged by it? Come on, man. For real, right? But this one preacher heard this years ago. This guy says, you know what? Every time you genuinely repent in your heart, that thing dies a little bit more. I said, boy, I like that. I like that. Every time, doesn't mean it's not going to come back. The Bible clearly tells us, Jesus teaches us, church, that if a house is, if you deliver, you get delivered from something, it says that the house gets cleaned up, swept out. That's the work of the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit comes in. But then he says, you got to fill that house up. If you don't fill that house up with the truth, the word of God, the scriptures, right? The Bible says that that demon's going to wander around in dry and arid places looking for a place to, you know what's looking for? Rest. Demons want to rest somewhere. And it will find no place to rest, and it will come back, and it's going to peek in the windows and see, man, that place got cleaned up nice, but it's still empty. And it says it will go get seven spirits worse than itself and reoccupy the house. Pastor, I thought I beat this thing. You did, bro, but the Bible says it's going to come back and try to get back in. Jesus himself says it. See, if we'd start reading our Bibles a little bit more, we'd understand how stuff in the spirit realm works. We'd understand how demons work. You don't need to read 50 books about it. Read the book, and you'll figure out a lot of stuff. Can I get amen? It's good stuff. So years ago, church, another just a little nugget. If you're writing notes down, I would encourage you to write this down. The Lord said to me, I was reading through this section in Bible school, the Lord said to me this, you can't resurrect something that's still kicking. I said, man, I don't like that at all. Come on, man. Can I just get the power without actually dying? Can I get resurrected without dying? He says, no, son, you cannot. Right? You can't receive resurrection power until you're dead. You can hear that in a lot of churches in America. There's a scripture in Romans 7, back up. Again, these three chapters, man. You read these three chapters, grind them out. They're good stuff. In Romans 7, there's a verse that says this, dead men don't sin. Pastor, can I ever stop sinning? For sure, man. Absolutely you can. The Bible doesn't say you can never, that you'll sin forever. It just says you can't say that you don't have sin. I have sinned, and I do sin. But the goal should be, I believe fully, I read the Bible, I believe that there's a place we can get to, every one of us, where sin has zero control of my life. Zero. Doesn't say it's not going to try to get me to sin. Doesn't say temptation's not going to come. It doesn't say darkness ain't going to try to get up on me. Doesn't say something's not going to mess with my family or my wife or my marriage or my kids or my money. It doesn't say any of that stuff. It says that dead men don't sin. Temptation is not sin, church. Temptation is what gets you to sin. We had y'all remember Garth? Some of you guys remember? His wife preached a sermon one time, and I loved it. It was so good. And she called it the second second. You guys remember that? The second second. And so what she said, if we describe it like this, all the men will understand this one, all right? Happy Resurrection Sunday. Right, if I'm driving down the road in my neighborhood, minding my own business, I'm fine, right? And then some girl comes jogging around the corner, dressed. I don't know why they wear that stuff when they're jogging. Like I would wear more clothes than that if I was a woman. Just saying. Can I get amen? You know what I'm saying? Right? And I can't. I'm driving, so you're gonna see that, right? I ain't sin yet. It's when you drive by that girl and you look in your rearview mirror. Now you're in trouble. It's the second second. I didn't do nothing wrong in the first second. Right? Can I get amen? I was minding my business. I was having a good day, man. I was singing to Jesus. It was all good. And then the devil came out of nowhere in the form of a lady jogging on the road. Come on, church. Look, when something pops up on your phone, you didn't sin yet. When you're online and something jumps up on your computer screen, you didn't sin yet. That's temptation. What you do the second second is determines whether or not you're sinning. Can I get amen? See, my point is this, man. Dead men, if dead men don't sin, the reason dead men don't sin is because dead men receive resurrection power. And the Holy Spirit will never lead you to sin. The Holy Spirit will empower you to crush sin, man. He will empower you to crush sickness. He'll empower you to crush adulterous types of things, spirits. He'll empower you to crush things that want to make you mistreat your kids or mishandle your money. The Holy Spirit will come into your heart with fire, and he will burn all that junk up. I love preachers that say, you know, if you get saved, the Holy Spirit, you'll forget all about your past. I don't know about them. I don't. That does never happen to me. I don't know if any of y'all forgot your past or not. I don't know. I still remember everything I did. And you know what? It used to be a tool of the devil because it would bring condemnation on me. I'd say, oh, yeah, I used to do that, whatever. And something clicked in me years ago where I said, you know, I started thinking about when the devil comes at me with memories or oh, look at this, look at that. I look at him now and I say, is that all you got? That's all you got? Man, that's old news. Bible says to agree quickly with your adversary while you're on the way. Oh, look what you did. Yes, sir, I did do that. I got a list. You want to know what else I did? Let's talk about it, because I did all that stuff. But you know what? Jesus paid for all of it, and I'm delivered from it. I don't do none of that stuff anymore. Can I get amen? See, we instead of fighting with the devil about stuff that's actually true, come on, your past is true, man. What you did is true. It's paid for. That's also true, right? So let's, I'm not like that. But I used to be, and that's all right, because Jesus died for it, man, right? The Holy Spirit came in and delivered me from that stuff. Amen. You can't resurrect something that's still kicking. Sometimes, man, the Lord's going to come in, he's going to check your pulse. Are you still breathing? Who likes dying? Anybody? Man, no, we don't like it at all, especially Americans. We don't like dying at all. Go to some other countries, they understand it totally. It's amazing, man. Anybody ever been overseas? Seen ministry overseas? There's folks over there got nothing, and they'll give you whatever they got. Just give it to you. Here's chickens, you know? They give you whatever, weird stuff. What am I going to do with a chicken? But it's rude to not receive that stuff, right? They're going to give you whatever they got. And you're like, oh, what am I supposed to do with this stuff? But you understand, they've got a hold of something that is true. It's a kingdom truth, right? That none of this stuff's mine. I'll give it all to you. Amen? So we think about this just for a moment, almost done. Jesus physically died in our place. He was actually beaten in our stead. He was literally cut off from the Father by no fault of his own so that we would never be. Church, we got to catch that. Jesus, my Father, why have you forsaken me? It's a legitimate question. I've done nothing wrong. And that, boy, just think about that one thing. Jesus was forsaken by the Father so that we would never be. That's powerful. To think that we don't have to go through our own death, in a sense, to think that we don't have to go through our own suffering, to think that we don't also need to become obedient to the point of death is quite frankly selfish and very American. A good Pastor Ryan, most of you know Pastor Ryan, one of our pastors over our ministry, I've been talking to him quite a bit more lately, and he's been reading lots of books on how Western culture thinking has twisted the gospel. Some of these books, it's alarming how badly we've twisted the gospel around. He says, for one example, in a Western culture, we're very individualized, right? You're awesome. You're awesome. You're awesome. You're awesome. You're everybody's awesome. Everything is awesome. Right, and it's this very individualized thing, right? And he says, but if you read the Bible, which is written from an Eastern culture, right? It's Middle East. There is no individuals over there. It's everything's collective, right? He says, just as simple as this. What's the Lord's Prayer say? Our Father. Not my Father. Our Father. Wow. But just think about that. Just that simple phrase, the beginning of that prayer is talking about collective, right? Do you see this? See, church, we're all in the same boat. When you really allow the Spirit of God to work in you, he will reveal stuff in your heart that should make you sick. Happy Easter. Come on, man. Anybody other than me been here? Stuff the Holy Spirit has shown me in my own heart has made me want to hide under a rock. It should make me feel a sense of remorse and sadness. But if it is the Holy Spirit revealing those things, he will also bring a sense of forgiveness immediately. Immediate, man, right? It's like conviction, boom, and you just, oh, man, and then it's like instantly a hug, right? Like, sometimes, you know, I've worn my kids' bottoms a couple of times, you know, but it's like, I always want to hug them after, you know, and they're like, Dad, why are you hugging me? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to hurt you, but what you're doing is wrong, right? I'm telling you it's wrong because I love you. That's why I'm telling you what you is wrong, right? There's the Holy Spirit. He's going to bring that conviction in our hearts. What you're doing is wrong. But he says that if, and that scripture we just finished up with in verse 13, right? If we're living according to the flesh, we must die, right? That fight of, oh, why is this thing so hard? Because we're fighting. We're living in our flesh. We want to stay. I want to do this. I want to say this. I want to watch that. I want to spend my money on this. I want to do this. Da, 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 me. And he says, look, if you're living that way, you got to die. But if you surrender, you'll live. You know the scripture that says, Jesus says, he who loses his life for my name's sake will gain it, but he who even seeks to save it will lose it? The Greek word for life right there is crazy, y'all. It's psyche. Every time, all three times that shows up, the Greek word Jesus uses is psyche, mind, will, and emotions. He's not talking about physically dying. He's talking about letting go of my identity. He who loses his identity for my name's sake, he who lets go of his old man for my name's sake will gain the new man. But he who seeks to save his own life, you lose both. I'd rather lose my old man and get the new man than lose both. Amen? See, the truth is, resurrection power is gonna hurt. But it hurts in a safe place. Can I get amen? As that stuff starts working in your heart, it's gonna, oh man, you're like, oh gosh, why did I fight that so long? Right? It's going to be like, oh, you know, I'm sorry this isn't like one of those rah-rah sis boom bah messages or whatever those cheerleaders used to say, right? Hey, go Jesus, give me a J. But the truth is, church, it's the process of letting go of who we were and grabbing on to who we can be, that one hurts sometimes. Can I get amen? Yeah, but I tell you what, once that life comes, boom, we start feeling alive again. We start realizing like, whoa, we start really like there's something really clicks in our minds. We start seeing like, whoa, I never saw it that way before. Whoa, I never understood that. Wow, I understand that scripture now. I understand why I went through this. I understand why that came. I understand this now. When all the pieces start coming together, we're like, yes, man, whatever that cost me, I don't even care. It doesn't even matter because what I receive is so much more valuable. Amen. Last point right here. Let's stand to our feet and we'll pray. In verse 11, when Paul says, I'll read verse 11 one more time, one quick point, and then we'll pray and wrap up. Verse 11 again, Paul says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, right, lives in you, right, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal body. All right, so mortal body, the Greek phrase there means your body that's dying. That's the literal Greek word there, right? Your body is dying. It's going to. Another spot, Paul says, though outwardly we waste away, on the inside we're made new again every day. right? Your earth suit's wearing out, man. The moment you're born, you start dying, right? So this is what Paul's saying. Paul's recognizing that truth. Your body, this thing, this earth suit is mortal. It's going to die. But he says that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead will give life to this mortal body, right? The word, the phrase, Greek phrase for give life literally means to make alive or to make a new life, right? So what Paul's saying is when the Holy Spirit comes in you, he's bringing into your mortal body, this thing that's dying, he's bringing inside of you brand new life. It's literally like the concept is a baby in a mother's womb. When you get born again, literally the Holy Spirit comes inside of you and you have the power, right? You have the authority of God over darkness. But he says what's got to be formed in you is the character of the Holy Spirit, the Christ-likeness. Amen? When folks follow Jesus in the Gospels, they follow Jesus for just a couple of months, they're casting demons out. Grossly immature. They were not mature Christians. You don't have to be a mature Christian to have a power over darkness. Can I get amen? But the Bible is, the goal in the Bible is to become mature Christians, right? Become sons and daughters, mature, fully grown. Paul calls it perfect, right? Not like like without flaw, but it means full grown, mature. Amen? So, Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you as we remember in this season what Jesus did for us. Without the sacrifice of Jesus, without the cross, we've got nothing. I pray that you'd stir our hearts, God. Stir our hearts again to think of the cross with great admiration, to think of the cross, Lord, with great affection, to think of the cross with gratitude in our hearts. Because without the cross, we're nothing. But Lord, the cross is all about death and dying. We also need to understand that Jesus is not in a grave, he's not on the cross, but he's seated at the right hand of the Father. He rose. He's not on the cross, Lord. We need to take our cross daily, deny ourselves, but we need to come through that cross and receive that resurrection power. Receive the newness of mind. Receive a newness of heart. Receive the newness of your power, God. Receive wisdom from on high. Receive hope and joy. All those things are not the fruit of the cross, the fruit of the Spirit. So, Lord, we ask today, Lord, that as we celebrate the resurrection power, that that same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, God, would quicken our mortal bodies, that you would birth new life in us. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.